This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here, live from the MVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Editor-in-Chief of Extremists, Rob Toledo, is going to join me to speak about the recent Netflix cancellations and other streaming-related news. Thanks for joining me, Rob.
Thanks for having me on.
So a lot has happened. And for me, it's the Netflix cancellations. What do you think of these?
Oh, man, what a wild month. You know, Netflix has canceled lots of shows in the past, but what I think was most surprising were the shows that got canceled this month, right? I was looking at the numbers, and Netflix really actually hasn't canceled that many shows, but, you know, when we're talking about Iron Fist and Luke Cage, and, you know, they just recently canceled a bunch of their talk shows that they had, you know, kind of just started, and then the series American Vandal, which I thought was doing very well, you know, to hear that these shows are all getting canceled all a few weeks of each other was like, okay, something must have changed at Netflix to encourage this kind of shift in mindset. Because, you know, previously, you know, what would we hear? Maybe one a month of a show getting canceled. This month seemed particularly bad.
I can understand Iron Fist being canceled. I don't think that was a very good show at all. But Luke Cage,
right.
I'm surprised about that one. I thought the current season was one of the better ones. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, I thought the same thing. And even if, you know, I didn't particularly like the first season of Iron Fist, I never even watched the second season. And but I had heard that, you know, it had improved, certainly, but maybe too little too late. You know, Netflix knows better than anybody how many people are watching what. You know, I think this is going to become more and more common with the service, right? Because they have so much original content now that it only seems natural that, you know, kind of as we're moving forward, shows like, you know, that just aren't pulling in the viewership numbers or especially the new subscriber numbers that Netflix wants, that we're going to just see more cancellations like this. I think the thing about the Iron Fist and the Luke Cage thing that was so fascinating, though, is kind of what it represents. Marvel, Netflix is just like this huge concept, right? And the timing of all of this with, you know, the Disney's planning on launching a streaming service. Like, I don't know exactly what's going on there yet, but, you know, it just seems a little funky with the timing that Netflix and the Marvel shows kind of are suddenly hitting kind of a rough spot.
I'm glad you talked about the viewership because nobody really knows what the ratings are for these shows. But I was wondering, and it's my theory, what about bad social media reviews? Because that's really what Orange is the New Black, the current season, and Iron Fist, second season. Luke Cage had a lukewarm kind of reception, pun intended. So do you think that bad social media has, I guess, some hold on whether or not a show could be canceled?
I mean, I think only in so much that it might be an indicator of how the show's doing on Netflix, if that makes sense. Like, if these people who are angry on social media represent kind of the mass opinion, then yeah, I think so. I think there's a signal there. Now, what I don't think is, you know, I'll give you an example. You know, Netflix released that Adam Sandler movie, those Adam Sandler movies, and I think kind of in like the, you know, the TV review circles and on Twitter and whatnot, most people kind of panned it and were mocking the movies. And you know, Ted Sarandos, their chief content officer, has come out and said that those Adam Sandler movies are quite literally the most watched thing on Netflix of all time. So it's, you know, I think, you know, if the sentiment isn't necessarily positive, but the viewership's still there, I don't know if Netflix cares, you know. Again, though, I do think that the people who were probably upset about, especially the Iron Fist series, how it was handled, I think, you know, voicing their opinion on social media, I think that's probably indicative of how the show did on the service. So, you know, I think there's a little bit of weight there, certainly.
When it comes to their original content, they sometimes hit it or it's a miss. And they've been missing a lot. Do you think they should scale back? Like, should they be thinking quality over quantity at this point?
I think so. If I were in charge of Netflix, and certainly I'm not, that's kind of the philosophy that I think I would take. But, you know, it seems like the past year, and we've heard, you know, we heard Reed Hastings come out, I think it was maybe a year and a half ago, and he said to Netflix to mess up more. He wants, you know, these big mistakes. He wants them to take shots on shows that probably won't pan out because of their low cancellation rate. I mean, up until recently, their cancellation rate was, you know, tiny compared to the television networks. You know, it seems like every fall season on TV, we get a whole bunch of new shows, and I don't know how many, probably less than half of them probably make it through, you know, the first year for a renewal. Netflix was, you know, renewing at a higher rate than that, so at some point they were picking all these winners. I think with their newer initiative to push really heavily into releasing, like you said, a lot of quantity just to get that Netflix original logo on the titles that they have on their, you know, their library home screen, you know, I think they have started taking a lot more risk. and a lot of it's not working out. And so in that, you know, with that, they're now having to cancel a lot of these shows because, you know, I don't follow the finance behind Netflix all that closely, but they just had to raise some money to basically or issue some debt or something to basically give them budget to go out and buy more shows. So clearly they're spending a lot of money on this. The thing that I think is interesting is I don't know if there's been many shows on there that have caught like the fever that, you know, kind of those originals did, like with House of Cards or Orange is the New Black. When those first came out, it was a huge deal. Now it kind of feels like Netflix's new shows just kind of fall into a, you know, kind of a cycle of like a standard TV release of new shows, and they're not getting as much, you know, media attention as they once did. So I'm wondering if that's been hurting them too.
Now, I have heard about their Choose Your Own Adventure, I think with Black Mirror. I'm kind of interested to see how that would go, but do you think that they're going this direction because it's becoming a bit stale?
Their Choose Your Own Adventure, I guess they have the technology to enable that, you know, because most people are using Netflix on a you know, as an app, whether that's on their smart TV or, you know, on a computer or what have you. So it enables the viewer to maybe be a little bit more interactive. I would check it out with the Black Mirror series. I still haven't played around. They have a couple of these in the kids' library. I still haven't really played around with those much. From what I've heard, it's kind of clunky. It's not really like, you know, kind of like, it just doesn't translate quite in the way I would hope it would. And I just don't know if the interactivity is there to warrant, you know, spending a lot of time trying those out. But that's kind of Netflix motif, right? Is just to experiment more and try these things out and see what works. And I wouldn't be surprised if this didn't work out and they canceled it and moved on. But who knows, right? And you know, I guess I appreciate at least that they're trying something new.
That's true. You're right about that. You can't really get mad about the innovation. At least they're doing something instead of just like, hey, we're going to just keep doing the same old thing.
Right. And like, if, you know, eventually I think we're all going to be wearing VR headsets and, you know, we're going to be in the shows we're watching probably 30 years from now. So maybe this is kind of like the first iteration of that on Netflix's part. I don't know.
When it comes to streaming services, I can't help but feel like I'm getting milked here. Like, should I go back to cable? Because I am just buying too many streaming services, right?
I've been ranting about this for years now, where it seems like, you know, at some point somebody's going to come along and package all these streaming services under one thing, one account. And go, okay, now pay us $80 a month for all of them. Oh, I'm not really saving any money over cable. The one thing I think that will always remain true about this, and I think you're right, this is going to end up becoming relatively expensive. And I don't know if like cutting the cord is going to be like a cost-saving thing in the near future, unless you're willing to make some compromises on what you have access to. But with that in mind, you know, I still like the modularity of it. You know, being able to kind of pick the 2 to 4 services that I want. You know, if Game of Thrones is on, I want HBO for those couple months. And then I can cancel that, you know, version of the service. I can cancel their streaming service. Or, you know, if Netflix has some new big show, it's like, okay, well, I'm only paying $10 a month for that, so I'll keep it around. You know, Hulu, you know, same thing. You kind of mix and match. Now, what ends up happening for me is I end up signing up for all these services and never canceling any of them. So, you know, I kind of end up forgetting to you know, make those moves in order to save the money. But I like that you're not stuck under some crazy contract, you know, that you have kind of one, you're not stuck under, you know, paying for a lot of channels that you're not using. So I like that. But at the same time, I think you're right. I just think like the days of, you know, getting rid of your cable subscription, signing up for only Netflix, and then that pretty much covering what you needed, like those, that is long gone.
So I have to know, did you or Extremist ever look into how many streaming services the average person has?
I don't know how relevant this data would be anymore, because we took a survey maybe a year and a half, 2 years
ago.
Wow. But I think it's probably relatively, this number is probably a little bit low, but it was basically the average consumer is willing to pay for up to 3 streaming services is kind of what we found. I wouldn't doubt that number's gone up just a tiny bit, just with, again, how modular we're getting. And, you know, I think once, you know, a service like Disney's Stream or Disney Play or whatever they're calling it comes out, it's all of a sudden, you know, okay, maybe that number bumps up to 4 because, you know, I want to have Netflix, I want to have Hulu, I have Amazon Prime, so I have Amazon Video with that. And then, okay, well, yeah, let's put that Disney to the mix. I'm curious to see what that looks like for the other streaming services, if people cancel one or if they just bring that into the fold with the new, you know, signing up for a new service like that.
I'll be honest with you, I never really considered Amazon Video to be a streaming app. I always thought it's just like a little bit of, you know, dessert with my main course, which is Amazon Prime, right?
That's one of the problems that Amazon's been trying to solve internally is like, I actually think they have a pretty good library. I think they have some really good originals that are coming out. I think they've had a marketing problem the last 4 or 5 years where you know, I sign up ThingReason. I sign up for Amazon Prime because it's the 2-day shipping, right? I mean, and then it's like, oh, and by the way, you have this streaming service over here that you can have access to. And, oh, that's great. Okay, whatever. And then you just kind of forget to end up ever using it. Well, you know, Amazon's trying to put a bunch of money into this because they recognize, you know, television entertainment as a big part of their, you know, future as a company, having a big offering in the streaming world. And, you know, no matter what they've done, they just really haven't, they haven't seen the numbers that I think they have hoped, and especially the numbers that I think they're putting out in the public. Like, they say, oh, like, tens of millions of people are using our streaming service. And I'm like, okay, well, what does that mean? Does that mean, and they don't say this part, of course, but, like, does that mean that they're watching one show one time and then that counts? Or is it monthly usage, or is it daily usage? You know, what's that number? That's the number I want to hear from them. And anytime they're not willing to give that number out, then I'm kind of thinking, you know, the worst case scenario, which is, okay, it's probably they've used the streaming service one time and then that counts.
I will say that Amazon Video has a really wide range of international movies and TV shows, which I appreciate because I will watch something from early 2000 and I'll be like, oh, it's brand new. I love it.
Yeah, I think you actually see that on a lot of the services. Netflix has quite a bit of international content, too. And to be blunt, I think the reason is because it's cheaper than U.S.-based content.
You think?
It's cheaper for a U.S. streaming service to buy international content than it is for a U.S.-based service to buy U.S. content. So go figure there. But what I do like about it is that it ends up bringing in a lot of stuff that you might not otherwise have seen, you know? So it's fun.
All right. So it turns out Costco has everything. And they're going to have one more thing. They're going to have their own streaming services. At least they're considering it. What do you think of this?
I couldn't believe that when I mean, again, I think it still probably falls under rumor status. I don't know if it's anything beyond them just kind of like exploring the idea in the same way that they probably explore all sorts of different ideas, you know. It just kind of seems like they've looked at the Amazon model where Amazon Prime, you know, you pay your annual subscription or annual membership or what have you, just like Costco's membership, you know, and it's like, okay, great, here's a streaming service that goes along with it, and we'll just throw some titles on there. If it comes with my membership, which I already pay for, great, that's awesome, I'll check it out. But so I'm a little worried that if they did release a streaming service, the technology would be a little rough, and then also that it would kind of be more of an afterthought. One of the things I appreciate about what Amazon's done is they've made it kind of, they're trying to prioritize it, which means they're spending a lot of money on bringing in some kind of interesting ideas for new shows. Costco, on the other hand, it's like, do they have the modern thinking in entertainment to build a good streaming service? I kind of doubt it. You know, if it comes with my membership, I'll check it out, and I will, it's not like I'm going to cancel my Costco membership if it's bad, but will it be more than an afterthought? I don't know.
But isn't Costco, they were the ones who also had MoviePass along with their membership, right?
You could buy a MoviePass annual subscription at Costco, but it did not come with your membership, no. One thing that they have there, Costco is honoring, though, is that if you've been dissatisfied with your MoviePass subscription, you can take it back to Costco and they'll give you your money back, which I thought was pretty cool.
See, and I was going to correlate the comparison, at least, between MoviePass and their technology being rough, and I'm like, I'm not sure they're going to have enough money
exactly.
to deal with this. Now, when it comes to November, what can we expect? Something specific we should be watching on Netflix or Hulu?
On Netflix, kind of the belle of the ball this month is going to be the final season of House of Cards. It's coming out, and I think everyone's kind of tuning in to see, okay, what are they going to do ever since that whole, you know, Kevin Spacey, you know, scandal. And I'll be curious to see how they handle the show. You know, I've kind of been a loyal viewer. I can't say I've loved the last few seasons, but I'm at this point, I'm committed to see, you know, how it all wraps up. And so that comes out this month for the final season. Narcos is another series I've really liked on Netflix. They've released three solid seasons, and now they're doing a fourth season that's coming out this month. On Amazon, there's this new show coming out called Homecoming, and it's by the guy who produced and wrote Mr. Robot, which I really like. Totally, it's a psychological thriller. It's starring Julia Roberts, so we'll see how that goes. And then Hulu has this kind of monthly show that came out. It started coming out last month. This is interesting. They release one episode of the show every month of the year. So it's a pretty slow release cycle, but it's a horror thriller show called Into the Dark. The first season's a lot of fun. The first episode is a lot of fun. And so I think the second one comes out in November, and I think it'll be kind of fun to check out.
So that's once a month?
Yeah, one episode a month, and they kind of theme it based off of whatever the holiday in the month is. And it's a horror show. If you're familiar with the studio Blumhouse, they make a lot of like cheap budget horror. That actually does really well in the box office, but they've partnered with Hulu to release these series, and the first one was a lot of fun. I definitely recommend checking it out on Hulu now.
Okay, now I'm a little curious about that one, because that's really weird. So are all the episodes already done, Or is it they're filming it and it's coming out as they're wrapping it up?
I mean, judging by how Blumhouse works, you know, which is kind of like a pump and dump studio with horror movies, I wouldn't doubt that they're working on probably ones that are down the road. I would also, it would surprise me if at least the next couple months aren't done. But it's kind of an interesting concept. What I'm worried about is that it won't keep people's attention because, you know, I think in this world of, you know, what's the next thing I can watch? If something isn't immediately grabbing your attention and you have to wait a month to watch the next episode, just it is an anthology, or what do you call it? Like each month is an individual, it's almost like a movie more than an episode of TV. So view it like that more than a, like you don't have to watch month one and then month two to figure out what's going on. It's more just like each individual episode is kind of its own story.
Oh, so it's kind of like American Horror Story with their seasons. They have the same people,
yeah,
but
exactly.
It's different
like
stories.
Each season is different, you know, right? I would, that's a great, I wouldn't say it's quite, I wouldn't say it's like up to the quality of American Horror Story, but it's definitely kind of a fun concept show that Hulu's put out.
Oh, well, that's awesome. I'm going to have to check that out. Well, thanks, Rob, for joining me. I really appreciate you being here. For those listening, where can they find more information about you?
Yeah, they can check us out on extremist.com, and hopefully we'll have the latest news on what's on your favorite streaming services.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com. That's MasonVeraPaine.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.